Hey guys, just hopping on really quickly before the episode starts to let you know that there is going to be like a few changes in the microphone and the volume throughout the episode. I don't know what happened, but I was having some technical difficulties when I was recording the first time, so I tried to re-record certain parts separately on another day to salvage the episode, but it just sounds so different because it was like a different time, different place. So it's definitely still listenable by all means, but you might be like, whoa, she sounds different here than she did 5 seconds ago. And to not make you feel like you're going crazy, I'm just quickly explaining that this episode was recorded in separate parts over separate days, but I think it's still salvageable. I didn't want to throw the whole thing away, so it is what it is. This is just my little preface to you. Okay, bye. Hello and happy new year, guys. Welcome back to another episode of 20 Somethings Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Birch, and this is a place where people in their 20s, in the 2020s, come to discuss a variety of topics, anything from friendship to love to family to the rent crisis, social. Oh, Darla's popping in to say hello. Oh my God, I love her so much. This is also a podcast where we discuss how much we love our dogs. I'm in a closet, guys. I haven't recorded in a closet since Amanda and I used to record in Victoria a couple years ago. Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to very, very quickly say my recommendations. My dad kind of hinted or suggested that I give you guys like a timestamp of when this will be over in case you don't give a fuck. But guys, I have a really good taste. I'm telling y'all, like, you guys are going to want to hear what my suggestions are. Just do a little timestamp where we'll actually get into the topic today. And otherwise, if you're interested in knowing what my recommendations are, then stick around for a few minutes. So the book that I just finished reading, and I devoured that book, it literally will stay with me for the rest of life, is Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukovka. Just 10 out of 10. I mean, I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads, but I read it on Kindle, and when I tell you I was highlighting passages at least twice a page, simply because the writing was so profound and so beautiful and eloquent. Like, it's a darker story, so just be prepared for that. It's kind of about a serial killer who's on death row, like reflecting, but it's more so from the perspective of all the females and all the victims. And the author is a female, and she kind of wanted to give more of a light to the women in these stories. So if that sounds up your alley, I definitely recommend it, guys. Truly just one of the most beautiful, well-written, powerful books I've ever read. And then TV shows. I actually just started the World War II documentary. I think it's called like World War II from the Front Lines on Netflix. And they've restored all this old footage in color. And it is just so powerful seeing. I mean, I've watched every World War II documentary and like read every book there is. Like, I'm not desensitized to this topic, but just seeing it all in color for some reason makes it feel so much more real. But when it's in color, for some reason, I'm like, holy shit, like this could have happened yesterday. Like, and it is still happening. Like, there's literally genocides and wars happening all over the world. So it's just, I've only watched 2 episodes and it's just very, very powerful. Of course, I'm still plugging through Gilmore Girls because you need to have some positive stuff, some lighthearted stuff as well to counterbalance all of the negativity. Oh my goodness, negativity. But let's get into the actual topic now. I was writing the script for this and I didn't know exactly what I was trying to talk about. So I'm kind of just going to dive into it and then I guess choose the title after. But we're going to talk a little bit about pretty privilege and the fear of aging, especially how prevalent this fear of aging has become, from what I've noticed anyway, in the last few years, like this boom of Botox and preventative Botox, and not to mention skincare and like 12-step skincare routines that like 10-year-olds are doing on TikTok. It seems to be this desperation now where people are really like actually willing to put themselves in financial debt in order to afford Botox every 4 months or whatever it may be, in order to not look old or for their forehead not to move or for their wrinkles not to appear. And it's like, how did we get to this point where like everyday people are getting Botox, getting filler, getting facelifts, And also spending, you know, not drugstore prices, but going to Sephora and spending hundreds of dollars on the top tier skincare. Like, that's kind of what's like expected of everyday people now, instead of just going and getting like, you know, Nivea from the drugstore. And I blame a lot of it on TikTok. I blame everything ever that's ever happened in the world on TikTok. You guys know that. But anyway, so that's kind of some of what I want to get into today, and just why are we so scared of aging. I think it directly relates to like pretty privilege, which could also be seen as like youth privilege. Like, I know pretty and youth are different things, but it all kind of goes under the same umbrella, where it's like the prettier you are, the more youthful you are, the more vibrant you are, the better you're going to get treated in society. And that's kind of just the end goal for people, is of course to get as many opportunities, as many potential partners, as much money as possible. Like, that's, you know, that's our inherent goal, is to progress through society and thrive. And it seems like the best way to do that is to be as hot and young as humanly possible. Okie dokie. So, of course, theoretically, we all know better than to be overly obsessed with beauty and looks in our society. After all, beauty is a fleeting, cruel thing, and time leaves no victims behind in its pursuit. We've all heard those cliche sayings like, it's what's on the inside that counts. But it is worth questioning whether those cliches are actually true and realistic. As much as I wish it were true, you cannot deny that people who are attractive in alignment with society's standards get treated better and receive more opportunities both in their work and their personal life than their less attractive counterparts. With the recent explosion of skin talk videos, 12-step skincare routines being normalized, Gua Sha tutorials on how to thin out your face, and preventative Botox injections becoming as normalized as manicures, many people are asking, why are we so desperately afraid of aging? Well, why do you think? It's no secret that the elderly people in our society, specifically North American society, get treated as the bottom rung of society's hierarchy ladder, the least important people to our society, the ones who kind of just get shoved in a corner somewhere. The seniors in our world often get treated as irrelevant people who are not in tune with what's going on. They have nothing interesting to say. They're unable to be productive or contribute to society. So we just sort of pat their heads and say, they're there. So that's sad enough as it is. But if we're to adopt a patriarchal lens to this discussion, which you know I must do, being the woman I am, it goes without saying that older women in particular get treated with less value than anyone else in society. We all know the expressions, you know, what a silver fox, or he just gets better with age. It's true that oftentimes these expressions are used when referring to an actor like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Harrison Ford, etc. However, you don't often hear anyone complimenting women for how sexy or desirable or dateable they are over the age of, say, 50. How often do you hear men or women, for that matter, calling Helen Mirren or Meryl Streep sexy, or saying how they look even more beautiful now than they did in their 20s when their careers first started? Never. Of course, we call these women beautiful or elegant, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about seeing them as still a commodity in the dating world or in society. Men often receive more respect and prestige the older they get, where women's value seemingly diminishes with every passing year and every new wrinkle on their face. Women are constantly warned about how their romantic and career prospects will continually dry up after the age of, let's say, 35. Picture the phrases crazy cat lady, past her prime, or old maid. I have developed this underlying existential fear of aging since I was 18, maybe. After 25, this once barely noticeable whisper has turned into an irritating and intrusive buzzing in my ear at almost all times. Even if these tragic warnings about aging were not directly said to me from the people in my life, which they have been, I have been directly warned by older women and older men to enjoy my youth because it's all gonna go downhill from here. But even if these warnings weren't directly said to me, there's still some part of me that instinctually knew them, based on the type of media messaging that's been indoctrinated in young women and girls by books, movies, TV shows, magazines, and commercials that constantly reaffirm the same sorry message, that I was going to keep losing value as a potential partner, mother, and general member of society as each year passes me by. If I feel this way, and I'm arguably a pretty smart, confident young woman, then I can guarantee a lot of other women feel this way too, and men. So it's no wonder why the global anti-aging market was valued at $62 billion in 2021, and is expected to increase to some $93 billion by 2027. According to Forbes in 2019, the global beauty industry was a $532 billion business, with the U.S., of course, being the world's largest beauty market. While projections for growth vary, most agree it will continue to advance to a 5-7% compound annual growth rate to reach or exceed $800 billion by 2025. Of course, I don't mean to exclude men in this. I do realize that there are lots of men and non-gendered people out there who enjoy using beauty, makeup, and anti-aging products. However, I do think it's a fair assessment that the majority of this demographic we're talking about would be women and girls. And women and girls all over the world are putting themselves literally in debt each month, unable to potentially pay their rent or their bills because the cost of being pretty or looking young outweighs any other cost. There was a saying that popped off a few years ago that stirred a lot of controversy and commentary, and that saying is, "You're not ugly, you're just poor." And I have to say, I wholeheartedly agree with this punchy little catchphrase. Most people like to use Kylie Jenner, Khloe Kardashian, or Bella Hadid as the poster child for kind of the black swan that transformed into this beauty. However, I would like to go on record and say that I never thought, and still do not think, that these women were ever ugly. What does ugly even mean? Beauty and ugliness are very subjective ideas, especially based on where you grew up, what culture you're a part of, what era you're born into, and so on. And before I dive into this next section where we talk specifically about like plastic surgery and Botox, I do want to preface it by saying, like, I'm not trying to judge anyone who gets plastic surgery or gets Botox or filler or wants to. I more just want to make a generalized commentary on how problematic I find it that people are getting so desensitized to plastic surgery. Small cosmetic procedures or even large invasive surgeries to alter your facial features or body composition used to be kind of this like secretive privilege of the top tier in society, the rich and famous celebrities and elite. However, now there's this transparency with plastic and cosmetic surgeries and a boost in marketing, as well as the prevalence of influencer culture and these glow-ups that has made it seem possible for everyone and anyone to have it. Now it seems pretty common for girls or guys walking down the street on the way to their 9-to-5 to stop in for a quick top-up of Botox or filler, or it's not uncommon to hear of a young woman booking a couple weeks off work to go get a boob job or a nose job. There's planes full of sedated and wrapped up BBL patients flying out of Turkey every day. But what no one's talking about is the potential life-threatening complications like necrosis or infections. So not only are we willing to risk our financial stability in the pursuit of accessing this top level of pretty privilege and youth, but we now seem okay with risking our medical well-being as well. And that's what concerns me the most. Botox, fillers, and surgery are becoming increasingly necessary to live up to these contemporary beauty standards, which are inevitably starting to look more and more like Instagram filters or TikTok filters, or just like Bratz dolls. The unrealistic beauty standard for women 30 years ago used to be kind of that one genetically privileged girl in Hollywood who was just born extremely pretty and people were fascinated by it. Picture a Brooke Shields or Cindy Crawford type. Now, it kind of doesn't matter how you look when you were born or even how you look after puberty. With the right checkbook and doctor, you can look genetically blessed. You can honestly look however you want. Essentially, the message I seem to be identifying through the expensive marketing campaigns, TikTok videos, and extreme celebrity transformations that have been like really normalized in society. The issue with this type of messaging is that it's kind of saying to young people who are looking, if you don't like something about yourself, fix it. And if you still don't like yourself, fix something else and keep going and keep going. And so if you really have that one thing in particular that's been bugging you for years and you're super insecure about, whether it be, you know, your nose or your lips or whatever, then go ahead and do something about it. It's your body. It's your own autonomy over your life. I do find it a bit ironic that people are so pressed about women choosing to get an abortion, but when it comes to a woman getting a BBL, no one seems to care. But that's besides the point. But I do still maintain that we should be sending the message to young girls and women and young men that you need to learn to love your imperfections, or at least give yourself time to grow into your body and features, because things really do change as you go into your 20s, as you go into your 30s. Go see a therapist maybe at least a few months in advance of booking a consultation to ensure that maybe you're not suffering from body dysmorphia or an eating disorder. After all, it's been proven that plastic surgery or cosmetic procedures will not heal your body dysmorphia. They will only exacerbate it. Of course, people see products or treatments or reoccurring appointments as an investment in themselves and their future. After all, beauty is a form of social currency, probably one of the most important ones we have. And whether we like it or not, people are making assumptions and judgments on us from the very first moment they see us. Or more likely in today's world, see a photo or video of us. I think this is kind of a separate topic, but it's also something that I've noticed with my weight, is that there was a time in second year of university when I lost like 25 pounds. And all of a sudden, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people would say, oh, it's just because you changed your confidence. But I do think it's more than that. All of a sudden was being invited to more parties. I was getting more interest from men. More men wanted to have sex with me, or like found me more attractive when I went from like a size 12 to a size 8. Not to mention, I feel like I was invited to more parties and making more friends, and also able to wear whatever I wanted to wear without thinking twice. Like I was able to go to a thrift shop or go to a normal shop and just like find everything in my size and like fit into everything without having to worry about like bulging and pinching and sucking in and all of that stuff. I also was receiving way more like compliments and validation from friends and family, but also like strangers, just like, you're so hot, or you look so good, or what's your secret, or wow, you've never looked this good before. And of course, when you're hearing things like that, it's reaffirming that this is how you are supposed to look, and this is how you're your most valuable and your most desirable, is when you look this way. And it's natural, I think, to want to hang on to that no matter what, and to like go to drastic measures potentially, whether it be beauty treatments or Botox or fake tan or losing weight or whatever the like thing is that you're getting complimented on over and over again, whether it be like how your skin looks or how your tan looks or how your body looks. It's natural to want to sacrifice anything to be able to continue getting that validation and to not lose whatever benefits you feel that you've received due to better acclimating to society's beauty standards. I heard someone say on a podcast recently that the worst part about social media, and perhaps the most unforgiving part of social media, is being forced to keep up with people from high school. And well, I guess force isn't the right word, but you know what I'm saying. And seeing how they're doing, what they look like now, who they ended up with, and just kind of being able to keep tabs on people from high school or university or just kind of your younger years in general, and knowing that they're also keeping tabs on you. I've, you know, always been told, or we all know that saying that like, oh, that person probably peaked in high school, or that teenage bully who was, you know, so attractive probably peaked in high school, or that really popular girl who ignored you probably peaked in high school. But like, guys, they didn't. Like, they're still on the up and up, I swear. Like, all you have to do is check their Instagram. And I know Instagram is a highlight reel, but they're still living their best privileged lives. Like, they've still got their hunky partners, and they're traveling the world, living their best life, and they're beautiful and they're popular. And it's like, I feel like I shouldn't know this information. You know, back 30 years ago or whatever, before social media, before the internet, you would keep in touch with your actual few close friends from high school, and maybe you'd bump into some people at a reunion or something. But for the most part, you kind of just focused on your life and where you're going. and there wasn't this ability to sort of be constantly surveilled or to constantly surveil other people and see how they're progressing, how they're aging, what choices they've made. And it adds this extra layer of pressure that is really just so unnecessary, especially the older you get, or maybe your life's not working out exactly how you want it, or maybe you have gained weight or whatever it may be. And it's just like, not only do I not want people in my direct life to judge me for this or notice this that I'm going through, but now I also have to be aware that if someone posts the wrong photo of me or someone shares an update about me, like then a bunch of other people are also going to know about this. I think that's when social media can become a blessing and a curse. Like, it's amazing to be able to share your engagement with, you know, 1,000 people from high school who haven't seen you in 10 years. But it's also like, let's say you and that person break up a few years later and you delete all your photos with them. Then there's also going to be the gossip train happening then of, oh, I wonder what happened to so-and-so. Like, clearly her and her fiance or her and her partner broke up. Or like, let's say you do get a boob job. Like, the next time you post a bikini photo at the beach, people are going to notice. People are going to talk about it. And so it's not a bad thing, but it's this weird underlying pressure of like being observed and being watched and having people keep tabs on you that I feel like we don't talk about enough with social media. And I think that's why I'm really starting to want to take a step back this year from Instagram, especially to just stop with the comparisons and to really just actually focus on what I need to do to get to the place where I want to be. Because the comparisons actually don't really inspire me that much at the end of the day. They really just stilt me and stunt me in my growth. And they make me forget about my purpose and my path because I'm so distracted by everybody else. That's a little bit of a divergence from the main topic of today, but I think it can all tie into one another, where it's like often this pretty privilege or this youth privilege or body, you know, skinny privilege, like they all tie into each other, right? Skinny privilege, youth, beauty, they all equal more benefits, more opportunities, more compliments, more potential partners, etc. And especially when it relates to this sort of high school thing or university thing, you know, it's sort of that ugly duck becomes a swan once she realizes her true potential. Like, she's all that, you know, the girl takes off her glasses and puts on a dress and all of a sudden she's a 10 out of 10 and all of the people in high school actually notice her and the boy wants her. Or, I mean, there's so many different variations of that within pop culture. I mean, I keep going to he's all that or she's all that, but it is that trope of like, you know, nerdy guy who's kind of underrated, doesn't know how to dress, doesn't know really what potential they have. Like, they finally step into what's expected of them to be attractive to other people, and they start to adhere to society's standards, and then the whole world opens up to them and everything just magically becomes better. So that's why I find it frustrating when people have no like empathy or sympathy for these people who do undergo cosmetic surgery, or these people who do want to lose weight or who do want to fix whatever it is. Like, of course they want to. Look at the world we're living in. Look at the reward system that is set up in society. Look at the way social media continually like pumps forward the content and the messaging of white, skinny, privileged, attractive people. Like, those are the people who have the voice in society, whether it be male or women. It's just you somehow demand more authority and more respect when you are an attractive, young, fit person. While I think it's sweet and it's still important to remind people that it is, you know, the inside that counts, it's your character, it's your personality, it's how you treat people. Like, I 100% stand by that. I don't think we should just stop saying that. But I also think it's a little bit of like a platitude that doesn't fully encompass the world, the realities of the world we live in. I guess what I'm saying is that it's like the whole structure, the whole system needs to change. There needs to be like an overhaul of what we are pushing forward and what we are celebrating in society if we want people to stop chasing those goals and to start focusing on other things that have more substance. But will that happen? at least in my lifetime, I don't know, especially with social media. I've just seen all of this exacerbated. But the last kind of thing I wanted to talk about, just in terms of the intersectionality of this conversation, is that, you know, when you dress yourself well or your skin is really beautiful because you use all this different skincare, or you do Botox so you have no wrinkles, or when you're staying on top of all the different trends and being able to try out new products, or whatever it is, even manicures, pedicures, like all of these little procedures and things we do to be as beautiful as possible or to look as young as possible, this all costs money. And we're not talking cents, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's not like this is covered by your healthcare plan. Like, this is all coming from disposable income. And maybe if you're an influencer, you're able to get certain deals and partnerships. But for the everyday person, this is all just coming from your income. And it's just fascinating to me that we're all living in such desperate times right now, me included, with the economy, the inflation, the rent crisis. Yet I'm not seeing a ton of people being willing to give up their beauty regime, or, I mean, people are being a little bit more smart about it, let's say. Like, I know me and a lot of my friends just do our manicures at home now versus going out to a salon, or like maybe people are going to start dyeing their hair at home versus going to a salon. But in terms of Botox and stuff like that, I don't really see, or skincare, like, I really don't see people trying to let that go. Like, people are, like, literally willing to forego their rent or forego their car payment that month so that they can continue to look as good as humanly possible. I don't know if I find that good, or I don't know. I'm not judging, because I can understand it. It's just fascinating to look at the state of affairs right now in this world and where everybody's at. And I think, of course, the crux of the matter is how social media has influenced that and continues to influence that. I will never not be fascinated in kind of the most depressed way possible at how social media has affected everybody and our mental health. And that would be a recommendation I have for you if you find you just keep falling down this wormhole of, like, never feeling like you're good enough, always feeling like you need to buy the next thing, or you need to be ashamed of your wrinkles or be ashamed of your body or whatever struggle you're going through. A huge part of it, honestly, probably is all the media you're consuming. Always good to take breaks, to take detoxes, and just to kind of root yourself in reality. Because the truth is, guys, if you go to, like, the beach, let's say, and you actually just, like, get off your phone, which is the number one thing, and look around you, you're going to see 95% of people have normal human bodies. They have rolls, they have cellulite, they have some hair, they have some scars, they have anything. Like, they're gonna just look like normal, average people. If you go to the supermarket, you're not gonna see every single person in a Aritzia full outfit with their Uggs and their Lululemon and their this and their that. Like, yes, you'll see maybe a few people, especially depending on the city you live in, but, like, most people, like, average working lower middle class people, are just going to be in their jeans, their boots, their coats, bopping around, living life, you know, trying to get from point A to point B, and they're not going to look straight out of a Pinterest board. And so when you actually just kind of compare yourself to normal people in society living life, it is a really good reminder that most people are on the same sort of spectrum that you are. And if you compare yourself to the 2% of people who are, like, influencers or, like, traveling the world or have, like, a size 2 body or dress perfectly every single day, like, you're never going to feel good enough, because that's literally, like, the 2% of the population in the world is actually living that life. Maybe less, probably less than that. But just jumping back really quickly to the intersectionality conversation, I completely sidetracked from this. But what I wanted to say was that, like I said, all of this costs money. The clothes, the nails, the hair, the teeth, the Botox, the filler costs a lot of money. There's other things too, like your race or your ethnicity or your culture. I know for some people, like, they would be prevented from getting a job. This isn't so much pretty privilege, but it kind of falls in the same category. I guess this would be more of, like, a racial privilege, but, like, they might be prevented from getting a job because of a religious marking or a hijab, or potentially they don't wear deodorant, let's say, based on their cultural or religious beliefs, and they have an odor, like a body odor, and they might be prevented from getting a job because of that. Or if you're like a black woman and you have a certain hair texture, I've heard stories of women who have gotten like told off at their job or threatened to be fired unless they kind of get their quote unquote hair under control, because it's maybe like unruly or whatever the situation is. So it's like, oh, you got to slick it back, you got to straighten it, you got to wear a weave or whatever. They might just say, oh, it's just to look more professional. But the reality is that there's a racial bias going into that and a lack of awareness of how hard it is for African American or black women to like actually take care of their hair. Like, that's like a full-time job in and of itself. I complain about not being able to like adhere to all the standards of beauty and youthfulness, and I'm like a white blonde girl, you know, so it's like even easier for me to try to maintain these goals than it would be for other people in society. So I acknowledge my privilege with that as well. All of these conversations are something we need to keep in mind when we're moving forward. So yeah, I guess there's a difference. What I'm trying to say is there is a difference between that like base level of just, you know, hygiene and professionalism and just looking presentable versus trying to achieve this like top tier level of like beauty and youthfulness and attractiveness. The first level, you might be treated, yeah, you might just like be acknowledged and treated with respect and left alone, and that's fine. But I think what most people want is they want like the opportunities, the compliments, the options, they want all the doors that open with the next level of beauty and privilege. I think that's what everyone's like aspiring to. But what lengths are we all willing to go to, and like how much are we genuinely willing to like put ourselves in ruin physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially? Like, how much damage are we willing to inflict on ourselves to just prevent aging or to prevent getting fatter, getting uglier? Like, you know, at what cost? Like, it's interesting because I'm this way too. Like, I don't want to gain weight. Like, I want to prevent these things. I'm always doing my skincare. I'm always trying to drink lots of water. I'm taking my vitamins. Like, I'm doing these things too. Like, I'm a slave to the masses as well. But I also just try to remind myself that like there is a limit to like how much I'm personally willing to spend and how much of my precious free time I'm willing to put towards. Like, I'm not willing to put hours and hours every single week into like tanning my whole body, like putting on fake lashes, like waxing my whole body. Like, I'm just not. Like, maybe once in a while for a special occasion, like I'll pull out all the stops, but like I'm gonna do the best I can do as just like a normal human being struggling to get by. And if I had more, but that's the thing, if I had more disposable income, if I was making a shit ton of money, I do wonder if I would start, oh, maybe I will get Botox, or oh, maybe I will get extensions, or maybe, like, I do wonder how I would change, or how my priorities would change if I all of a sudden had this influx of money. So anyway, it's all just worth thinking about and considering, but I think it's important to stay humble, stay grounded, and to remind yourself that yes, aging is scary. I don't want to get old. Nobody wants to get old. The alternative to growing old is dying young. And I say that to myself all the time. It is a privilege to get older. It is a privilege to, you know, see your boobs sag or see your stomach grow or to see the wrinkles on your face deepen, because that just shows that you're living and you're experiencing life and you are potentially have certain stretch marks on your belly because you, or your boobs hang low because you breastfed and you had a child, or you have certain scars on your body because you went out and had adventures and fell down and got back up again. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think the sooner you can make peace with aging, the better. Trust me, I understand with the messaging that we're constantly told, it's really scary. But no matter what you do, the reality is you're going to get older. No matter how many chemicals you pump in your body or how many thousands of dollars you spend on the top tier skincare, you will grow old. It will happen. Your hands will get old. Your feet will get old. Your neck will get old. Even if your face never ages, like everything else will probably age. It's like, it feels like we're trying to win a losing battle at the end of the day. And I can just see this issue becoming more and more serious with TikTok, because now we are seeing all these little 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds like doing this 12-step skincare routine, and these little 17-year-olds for their high school graduation asking for their first round of Botox and filler to quote unquote prevent wrinkles. And it's like, first of all, parents, like, why are you allowing that? But that's, it is what it is. But it's just, we can't save everyone. We can't, I'm not going to be able to sit here in my little room in Kingston and solve this issue. I just think it's still worth talking about. It's still worth having a dialogue about, because if there's like one 18-year-old girl listening to this that maybe feels a little different after, then I feel like I've done my job and that's all I can do. So I'll leave it at that. I'm super excited to keep moving into 2024, to keep bringing content. There probably, I know I've been saying this forever, will be like a big rebrand, new guests, new conversations. I definitely want to like move this podcast in a new direction or potentially start a second podcast, but I'm just in the brainstorming phase right now, so nothing is solidified. But stick with me. Please subscribe or follow this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can also follow me on YouTube, although I've been really slacking on YouTube. Give a girl a break. Like, she's been battling her demons. She's been battling her mental health demons. Yeah, all the links will be below to all my social media and stuff, so go ahead and do that. But what I would really ask, if you're interested in helping or promoting the podcast in whatever way, or you found that I had something somewhat interesting or valuable to say, would be to share this with a friend or family member or sibling or whatever. Just like send it directly to them or put it on your Instagram story. That's always a huge help. Or, you know, I don't know, put it on your Twitter. I don't know what people do these days, but as hard as it is, just keep complimenting yourself, loving yourself, embracing yourself, and take a little break from social media if you feel like you need it, because trust me, it is a war zone out there. Okay, I love you guys so much. I will see you soon. All the best. Toodaloo.